This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 51 of Surah Yasin, which is page number 434 of the Sahih International Translation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون ولو نشاء لطمسنا على أعينهم فاستبقوا الصراط فأنى يبصرون ولو نشاء لمسخناهم على مكانتهم فما استطاعوا مضيا ولا يرجعون ومن نعمره ننكسه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون وما علمناه الشعر وما ينبغي له إن هو إلا ذكر وقرآن مبين لينذر من كان حيا ويحق القول على الكافرين أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما فهم لها مالكون وذللناها لهم فمنها ركوبهم ومنها يأكلون ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون أولم ير الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم فإذا هو خصيم مبين وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. My dearest mothers and sisters, the verses we read are the verses of a beautiful surah, Surah Yasin. A lot of us would know this surah off by heart, but sadly, not many of us would know its meaning. If we go through the meanings of the verses of Surah Yasin, we will learn a lot. Just like we would learn if we went through any of the other verses of the Quran. But this surah has in it warnings, a reminder, and at the same time glad tidings of what is going to come for those who do good. So let's go through verse number 51, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of what is going to happen towards the end of time. He says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ and the trumpet will be blown. The past tense is used in the Arabic language. نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. So the trumpet is blown. That's exactly what it means. But it is used in order to express certainty that definitely this is going to happen. So the translation would be, the trumpet will be blown, and this is referring to the second blowing of the particular trumpet. And Allah says, and behold, from the graves they will come out quickly to their Lord. Which means they will be resurrected, myself and yourselves. We will all be resurrected. So after we have been decomposed into the soil, when the trumpet is blown for the second time, we will be resurrected by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention is made in the ahadith as to how exactly this shall happen, with the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, wherein he states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had explained this by saying that there will come a rain, a thick white rain, for a period of 40, whether it is days or months or years is not exactly certain, but for a certain period of time, and the people will grow from their graves just as the plants or the trees grow today. So we will be growing, and there will come a stage when we will have grown into the full extent, perhaps as it is reported, sittuna dhira'an, which means 60 feet. Now, a foot is either a meter or it's either 30 centimeters approximately. So, depending on what measurement we are using, that of aforetime or that of now. So, either way, it's very, very tall. 18 meters would be the minimum. So, 18 meters going up. Imagine myself, now we're just about 175 centimeters, I think perhaps a little bit more, a little bit less. And we would actually be more than 10 times the height we are now. So 18 meters, towering. And Allah says, they will come out quickly to their Lord. Everything moves as per the instruction of Allah, who is in control of absolutely everything. Then Allah says, قَالُوا they will say, who will say? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection on that day, and may He make us from the righteous, may He not make us from those who will regret, and may He not make us from those who have spent their time in this world just wasting it and perhaps indulging and engaging in that which is in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, they will say, oh woe to us, destruction to us, who has raised us up from our resting place or our sleeping place? The reply will be, this is what the Most Merciful had promised, and the messengers told the truth. So at that point, there will be certainty that Allah had promised something. Yes, indeed, it has happened. And whatever the messengers have told us is indeed the truth. In the next verse, Allah says, it will not be but one blast, and at once they are all brought present before us. One blast. Huge. Suddenly, things will happen. You know, when death overtakes people, it is sudden. In most cases, very sudden. Something happens, and next thing, the person is gone. Something happens, and within a few days, they're gone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good death. Ameen. So Allah says, so today, meaning the day of judgment, no soul will be wronged at all, and you will not be recompensed except for that which you used to do. So, if we would like goodness on that particular day, we need to prepare from now. The good we do, we will see it. The bad we do, we will see it as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to seek forgiveness, and may He forgive us so that we do not even see the bad. Because the only exception is when you have engaged in repentance and sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we have changed our habits and ways and given up the sins that we used to commit, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed opens the doors of the garden for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives in a way that He does not remind us after that you used to engage in sin. No, everything is gone. Everything is deleted. So He says, indeed the companions of paradise on that day will be amused in joyful occupation. They will be doing things that are so, you know, full of joy for them. So amusing, so much full of enjoyment. Who are those? The companions of paradise. May Allah make us from them. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, whenever we read verses of the Quran, or whenever we hear stories, or whenever something of goodness is being made mention of, quickly make a little dua to say, may Allah grant it to us. And whenever something bad is being spoken of, ask for protection. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, indeed the companions of paradise that day will be amused in joyful occupation. They and their spouses in shade reclining on adorned couches. For them therein is fruit, and for them is whatever they wish or request. Anything they wish. So imagine, the fruit of Jannah is something that has a different taste altogether. And it fills a person in a totally different way, because obviously the system we will be having of digestion will be completely different from the one we have right now. You know, the narration makes mention of how people will eat in a way that they will never be hungry, nor will they be full. They could eat as much as they want. Imagine, no gaining weight. Allahu Akbar. No worry about this or that. No fat foods, no worry of cholesterol and of this and whatever else, and low GI and the works. Nothing of that nature. Nothing of that nature. Eat whatever you want, subhanAllah. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for them will be whatever they wish. Whatever they wish. And anything they request, it will be theirs. May Allah make it ours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those. Then Allah says, peace, a word from a merciful Lord. So Allah will greet them with salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use the word salam. Salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim. That Lord who is merciful, through whose mercy they would have been granted paradise, shall greet them with the term peace. What type of peace? Peace of every single aspect. No worry at all. No concern. No, absolutely nothing. Today we have so many concerns, even though we might have peace as in terms of security and stability, alhamdulillah, and we have iman which brings about a different type of peace, but at the same time people have a concern, what will I do next? Right now we are sitting here and I think some of us are probably concerned, you know, how are we going to serve lunch and what's going to happen, preparation for lunch, the rest of the family needs to be fed and so on. And some might say, I hope this lecture finishes quickly, we've got a picnic at the lake that we all need to go to and so on. And some might be thinking of different things and so on. Others have different commitments and journeys and this and that. Some people are worried, will it rain, won't it rain? May Allah grant us rain that is beneficial. Ameen. So these type of concerns, they create a small feeling within the heart that will not be there when a person goes to Jannah. There's no concern, no worry, no fikr, as they say, absolutely no bother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. Then he will say, but stand apart today, you criminals. Allahu Akbar. Now, on one hand, the people of Jannah are gone in. They are enjoying. On the other hand, Allah says, stand apart, you criminals. Who are the criminals? Allah says, did I not enjoin upon you, O children of Adam, that you do not worship Satan? For indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. Why do you worship Shaitan? Worshipping Shaitan in so many different ways. Some people think that devil worship is only, you know, face painting, and it's only to do with worshipping the graves and the trees and the people and so on, and it's only to do with these rituals and whatever else, you know, that people sometimes engage in different parts of the world. Sometimes you have people who worship various animals and creatures and so on, and some people think that that is only Satan worshipping, you know, people who do dirty acts. Not realizing that no, Satan worshipping is whenever we get enjoyment by the transgression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do not for a moment think that this is actually forbidden and it's wrong, then we become worshippers of the devil. May Allah protect us. So if a person commits a sin and they know it's a sin, they are still worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person commits a sin and justifies it, they become worshippers of the devil, because that is the sharia of the devil. The devil teaches us that and inspires us to do evil and not feel any form of regret about it. This is why one of the narrations says, if you do good deeds and they make you feel good, and you do bad deeds and they make you regret, then that is a sign of true iman. And it means you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my mothers and sisters, it's important that when we commit any sin or when we are doing something wrong, whether it be not being dressed appropriately or perhaps listening to that which we are not supposed to be listening to and so on, or perhaps anything else that we might be engaging in that is wrong, we should not justify it. Believe in your heart that, you know, what I've done is wrong, and inshallah, I want to change this. Ya Allah, forgive me, strengthen me, make me powerful, so that I can become a person who obeys you completely and work towards it. That makes you a mu'min, that makes you a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person says, nah, there's nothing wrong, come on, I'm young, young. You know, the whole world is doing it, let's just carry on. Well, that means the whole world enters Satan worship, so should we do the same? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So Allah says, did I not warn you, O children of Adam, not to worship Shaitan? Indeed, he is a clear enemy of yours. And that you worship me alone. Did I not send you a message to say that worship me alone? This is the straight path. Mothers and sisters, let's stop there for a minute. Every time we say worship Allah alone, don't engage in shirk, do not worship sticks and stones and graves and saints and whoever else, some people get upset when we say this. They say, why? You know, to worship a saint is not a big deal. In fact, that's the only way we can go to Allah, to through people, because we're too dirty. Well, who knows, the person you might consider as a saint may be dirtier than you. No one knows the innermost part of the heart besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone might argue, well, why don't we worship the messenger? Because we definitely know that he is purer than us. Well, that's a fact that he is purer than us. But to engage in worship, we need to have evidence from him. If he has said even once that worship me, come through me, go through me and so on, we can take it. But never ever did he say that you worship me and leave Allah. This is what Allah says in the Quran, even regarding Jesus, may peace be upon him, that Allah will ask him the question on that day, that did you ever instruct these people to worship you and your mother and create a trinity and so on? And he will say, no, O Allah, never, never, glory be to you, all praise is due to you, O Allah. I never ever told them anything of that nature. They fabricated it on their own. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who worship Him alone. The biggest thing you could ever, ever succeed by is the worship of Allah alone. This is why Allah says,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا.
Allah says, Allah will not forgive those who die upon association or partnership with Allah and have not repented for it. Those who die having associated partners with Allah of any nature, Allah says He will never forgive them. Now that's what He is saying. He says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive the one who or that partners be associated by him or with him. Allah does not forgive that. But Allah says, besides that, He can forgive whatever He wants. And then Allah says, whosoever engages in shirk and associates partners with Allah in worship, then definitely they have strayed very far. They have gone very far off the straight path. So this verse, getting back to it, Allah says, worship me alone. I sent you messages to say, worship me alone. This is the straight path. So when we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, we are actually saying, guide us to the straight path. If you want to search the Quran to find out what is the straight path, this verse answers the question. And it says, worship me alone. Did I not send you a message that you worship me alone? This is the straight path, or a straight path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He had already led astray from amongst you much of creation. So did you not use reason? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shaitan. Shaitan has definitely led astray a lot of people, a lot of creation. Don't we look at them and see? Yesterday I read the newspaper and I saw how some people believe that a sign of worshipping Allah, worshipping God Almighty, is to eat grass. So the whole church, they began to eat grass. And this is something that the photograph of it was in yesterday's paper. And I was shocked and surprised that human beings with such a 21st century brain can actually believe that it would be, you know, a God-sent instruction to say, lie down on your stomachs and eat grass. Eat grass. Imagine. If I were to tell you, sisters, do you want redemption, forgiveness of Allah? Eat grass. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Well, I would probably... change that completely to one of those sweet dishes that the Indians make. It's like the hairs of, the white hairs of an old lady. That's what we used to call it, the sweet hair, you know. I think they call it fenny or something of that nature. Allah make it easy. Even with that, you won't just achieve forgiveness and redemption. It might taste a bit better than grass, though. My mothers and sisters, may Allah make you the best of cooks. Ameen. Whoa, that was quite a nice ameen. So this is the hellfire which you were promised, Allah says, because you did not take heed, and you were from amongst those who adopted what the devil had to say. Didn't you see that he led astray from amongst you so much of creation? Why didn't you use your reason? Which means Allah says, I gave you the reason, I gave you the brain. Why didn't you use it? How can you worship anyone but your Creator? How can you worship anyone besides your Maker? How could you have done that? So this is what Islam is founded upon, the worship of Allah alone. Judaism has exactly the same founding, where they worship Allah alone. They also have a very, very strict ruling against those who engage in any form of shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shirk. So Allah says, this is the hellfire which you were promised. May Allah protect us. This is the hellfire which you were promised. Enter into it. Burn therein today for what you used to deny. Now, if you stop there for a minute, it's obviously a very, very explicit verse. And it's very, very strongly worded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Burn therein today for what you used to deny. So Allah didn't say for what you used to do. Because if someone does something knowing that it's wrong and asks Allah's forgiveness, they will be forgiven. But when someone denies that this is the law of Allah, then That is dangerous. Then we're playing games with Allah. So something haram that we might be engaging in, don't try and justify it and say, nah, it's okay, there's a difference of opinion. And you know, this nowadays the scholars are saying it's fine and it's okay. No. What is haram and prohibited shall remain prohibited even if the whole world sees nothing wrong with it. It will remain prohibited. And we should believe in our hearts that this is prohibited. If a person out of their weakness engages in it, there is greater hope for that person than a person who engages in it out of denial. Big difference. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all mercy and make us from amongst those who are rightly guided. So Allah says, that day we will seal over their mouths, and their hands will speak to us, and their feet will testify about what they used to earn. Allahu Akbar. What is the meaning of earning? You earn the reward, or you earn the sin, and you earn the sustenance. Three things here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us good earnings. The earning of reward, not the earning of sin. So Allah says, you know, when a person shall be brought on the day of judgment, they will be asked to bear witness against themselves. And Allah says, اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Here's your book, read your own book. Today, you are a sufficient witness against your own self. Here's your book and read it. And then when witnesses are asked for, those who try to deny things, Allah will say, okay, let's seal your mouth. We close your mouth. What will talk to us? Your organs. The organ will actually bear witness. Allah will grant it the ability to speak, and it will speak. Your hands will say, Ya Allah, I touched. Ya Allah, I did. Ya Allah, I ate. Ya Allah, this is what I was made to do. Ya Allah, this is what happened. And so on. May Allah protect us. And the feet will declare. These feet that we go for beautiful pedicures and make sure that they are well waxed and cleaned up and so on. Those are the same feet that will bear witness for us or against us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness, and may He make us from those whose feet bear witness for them, not against them. Obviously, we said moments ago we'll have different bodies, meaning the body that will be granted will be a more complete one than the one we have now. But the feet, those feet will be brought up to speak up, and those hands will be brought up to speak up against those who are false mongers, those who do not want to utter the truth. May Allah grant us the ability to speak the truth at all times. So this is why we say, when you look at your hand, you should ask yourself, this hand of mine, mashallah, it looks like this, and alhamdulillah, I take care of it. If I have a little blister or a pimple on it, or some form of skin that might be peeling, I get so concerned that I buy whatever is needed in order to solve the matter, so that I have hands that feel nice and smooth and that look really good. And I make sure that I've put the henna and whatever else there is for my hands to look really pretty and sweet. Oh, those same hands may bear witness against us, and then we say, ah, what happened here? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let that happen. May He make us from those really who can seek forgiveness. Because every single human being makes mistakes, commits sins of a different level, some major, some minor, sins and so on. There is no one who is perfect. But the winners are those who constantly engage in tawbah. And constantly remember, on a daily basis, they have a concern. I'm going to go back to my Maker, and He must forgive me. It's through His mercy I'm going to go to Jannah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us Jannah. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every one of the children of Adam makes mistakes, errors, commits sins and so on, errs. And the best of those who do that are those who constantly repent. Tawwab. Tawwab means a lot of tawbah. That's what it means. So, who's the winner from amongst us? The one who engages in the most tawbah from amongst us is the winner. So, this is why on a daily basis you need to sit and ask Allah's forgiveness. And not just pay lip service to a tasbih, as we've always said, but rather be from those who mean it. Ya Allah, forgive me, I've wronged. I've done so many things wrong. Ya Allah, I read salah, but the concentration levels were not proper. Ya Allah, forgive me for that. And accept this salah from me. It was only for your sake. I did it as best as I could, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I'm a human being. I faltered here and there. Ya Allah, forgive me. I will not repeat it. I regret. I know that what I did was wrong. Ya Allah, make me strong. Ya Allah, I'm strengthening myself for your sake, so help me. These are the good words. These are the words that Allah loves. And believe me, once we've said these words with a good heart that is upright, there is an automatic calmness that overtakes our hearts. And we feel so good about it, although in the past we had erred big errors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all forgiveness. Ameen. So Allah says, Allah will tell those people, or Allah says, that day we will seal over their mouths and their hands will speak to us and their feet will testify about what they used to earn. And if we willed, we could have obliterated their eyes and they would race to find the path. And how could they have seen? How could they see? If Allah willed, He could have taken the eyesight away so that we wouldn't have seen. And if Allah willed, He could have done anything to us. Allahu Akbar. But He has given us two things. One is the eyesight to see. And two is He has shown us the straight path. Not only physically a path to walk so that you don't bump and so on, but the straight path. You know, a quick example has come to my mind. This morning I witnessed two major car accidents on the same road, a distance of 50 meters from each other. Major accidents. And I was thinking to myself, imagine people can see, they have eyes, they have a brain, they know that early morning people are speeding around here and there on a Sunday, and they know so much, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it such that with beautiful eyes, with people who can look, and they have lovely motor vehicles and not so bad roads, you know, the potholes have decreased I think by a few percent. And not so bad anymore as it used to be a while back, subhanAllah. And still, people bumped. And they bumped in a way that it caused damage and injury and perhaps loss of life. So, there is a path that is in front. We still didn't open our eyes and use our intellect and try and say the name of Allah and continue. Because obviously there are two, three things involved. You can have the best eyesight and the top brain. And you can have the best of roads and the most powerful vehicle. But you need to still make a dua. Oh Allah, help us on this journey. Help us so that we can control this that is definitely in your control, ultimately. This is the dua for having jumped onto a conveyance and continuing on it. Because Allah is the one who is in absolute control. So, the straight path, Allah has shown it to us. He showed it. There it is. This is the straight path, this is what is right, this is what is wrong. It is very clear, very, very clear. So why then do we speed down the wrong road? Why? We'll end up bumping and we'll end up causing damage and injury to ourselves and perhaps even to others who might learn a bad lesson from us, and then it causes double injury. You know, when your car is damaged, it's okay, you can repair it when you have the money and so on. But when you've damaged the vehicles of others, you could be jailed if you do not repair that almost instantaneously. So Allah says, and if we willed, we could have deformed them, paralyzed them in their places, so they would not be able to proceed, nor could they return. If Allah willed, He could have done anything. But look at what Allah has given us. He's blessed us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good health. May He grant cure to all those who are sick and ill. And may He grant the safe return of Brother Zaid, who's been missing for a while now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him and his family goodness, and may He cool their eyes by his return. Believe me, it is in the hands of Allah and Allah alone. When we engage in the worship of Allah to the degree that we become His, He becomes ours. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Then Allah says, and he whom we grant long life, we reverse him in creation. So will they not understand? This is a powerful verse. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. Remember, whenever you read this, now you need to think of its meaning. Whomsoever we grant long life, we reverse him in creation. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. So don't they think, are they senseless? Will they not ponder? Do they not have the brains? Do they not think? Think about what? Allah says, we created you. You were a little baby who was powerless. Then we made you powerful. And after that, we made you powerless again. Those of you who might have older people in your family, or you may have had older people in your families, there comes a time when they are worse than babies. Why? You know, when you're a baby, your mom will change the nappies, or let's talk, we're talking to moms and sisters here. When you had babies, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness, you know that nappies are changed, and you know that you have to feed them, and you look forward to it, and you know that as the days go, the condition is improving. So that's a smile.
condition is improving. But when you have to look after an old person, you do the same thing, you feed them, you take them to the loo, you change their, you know, diapers of old, and at the same time, the condition is becoming worse. That's the difference. So it will happen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, to all those who arrive at beyond a certain age. They become weak, frail, they cannot hear anymore. People talk to you and you've got to just nod your head and smile. And you don't even know what they said, because too embarrassed to say, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. My mothers and sisters, take a look at life. You know, it's amazing how we age. One of the first things that happens, whilst we're still healthy, we get grey hair. Whilst we're still healthy, in a lot of cases, some people are fortunate enough, a long time later, they still have all their hairs as they were before, and they haven't greyed at all. But the hair greys, that's the first sign to tell you, guess what? You're going back to Allah soon. And then what happens is, a bone starts paining. You cannot eat as you used to before. So Allah says, you know why? Allahu Akbar. Because you're not in this world just to eat. So we're showing you that there are things in front of you that are so delicious, you cannot eat. Don't. Why? You are made to prepare for the day you're going to meet us. Come, you're very close now. Allahu Akbar. Then what happens is, you can't move your leg, you know. Why? Allah says, hang on, we're just reminding you, this body, the function of it is coming to an end. Then what happens is, a time comes and you can't see properly anymore. Why? Allah says, you know, you weren't born, you weren't created here just to enjoy looking at everything. We take your eyesight away, for example. May Allah grant us all goodness of eyesight. We take your eyesight away so that you realize that the preparation for Jannah becomes easier. That's why Allah says, and this is the narration of the Prophet ﷺ, when Allah has taken the eyesight away from a person, he returns it with paradise. That's what he does. If they were patient, and obviously tried their best to please Allah. It's much easier for a blind person to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than it is with those with eyes, because you've the organs that are one of the roots of a lot of evil is actually gone. A lot of evil happens because you've seen something. You've seen a nice thing, you want it. You've seen a nice, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's a house, whether it's a phone, whether it's whatever it is, you want it. Sometimes you hear of it, you want it. So if you don't have the faculty of hearing and the faculty of sight, you won't really be able to speak, because you need to know how the word sounded in order to say them. So a lot of the people who are deaf are not actually dumb, but they don't know what to say, so they just utter sounds. They just make sounds. So what happens is, those people, it's far easier for them to enter into the garden, to be granted paradise, than the ones who've got all their organs healthy. So Allah says, hang on, we can take your organs away little by little so that you can at least prepare to meet us. Come on. So it's a gift of Allah to become a person who's really, you know, weaker, much weaker, and to realize, hey, I'm going to Allah, than a person who dies the peak of their age whilst they were sinning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Imagine, one verse, وَمَن نُعَمِّدْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Don't they think about it? Don't they ponder? Don't they have a brain to think that as they become older, they are reversing in creation? They used to be weak, they became strong, they're becoming weak again. So they were non-existent, they came into existence, then they will become non-existent again. Simple as that. Meaning in this world. Powerful verses. Surah Yasin. وَمَن نُعَمِّدْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Don't they have the brain to do what? To prepare for the day they're going to meet us. My mothers and sisters, may Allah make it easy for us to prepare for the day we meet Him. Ameen, ameen, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, really. You know, we get engrossed in the dunya and in the beautiful things that we have around us. You know, those things that shine, and we start thinking that I need this and I need that. And this is what, life is too short for all that. Life is a few more years. You know, if you have a few pains in your body, the game is almost over. Believe me. And it's not that we're saying it in order to depress ourselves. I mean, I'm in the picture. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to bless us. Because we have to go back to Him. But we need to just be prepared for it and concerned about it. There's no point, you know, shivering and holding yourself down to the ground. That won't prevent you from returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us every form of goodness, and may He open our doors, and may He grant us Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that,
answering the accusations leveled against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and we did not give him knowledge of poetry, nor is it befitting for him. He does not know the poetry. We did not give him knowledge of poetry. The Quran is not poetry. It is revelation from Allah. It is not but a message and a clear Quran, recitation, challenge. The Quran is powerful in meaning, powerful in wording. This is why my mothers and sisters, make a little effort to learn the Arabic language. Make a little effort. When people are reading the Quran and they themselves understand it as they are reading it, wallahi, the ruhaniya and the spirituality is different. Why should I live a whole life and not having tasted that sweetness of the Quran? No matter how old you are, start making an effort. Even if it's 10, 20 words that you now understand from the Quran, the sweetness of it is such you will just be smiling. I know the meaning of this. I know what Allah is telling us. And I'm sure it happens to us. Even if you sit and listen to tafsir over and over and over again, what will happen is when people read verses, immediately you say, I know the meaning of this. And it will bring a smile to you. It will bring a feeling of contentment within you. Why? You made a small effort. And the efforts are becoming easier and easier. You know, now you have iPods and so many different things and little devices and so on that you could use in order to repeat things to you so that you can understand its meaning and perhaps memorize the meaning as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us all. So Allah says, this is a clear Quran, it's not poetry. And we did not teach him poetry, we didn't give him poetry. Allah says, this is a clear Quran. Why was it revealed? To warn whoever is alive and justify the word of the decree against the disbelievers. So the Quran is here to warn anyone who's alive. Then Allah says, do they not see that we have created for them from what our hands have made grazing livestock? And then they are their owners. Amazing. These are verses, inshallah, we'll continue with next week by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although I read the whole of Surah Yasin and was hoping to complete it, but there's no point in rushing. We will be speaking, inshallah, about the animals, and we hope to meet you again next week here again. My mothers and sisters, we distributed this Sahih International. We have a few more copies that I've managed to source. And if there are any one of you who have not received, please can you write your names down, inshallah, and we will try to get the exact number to give you so that you can benefit from this and that we can all achieve a reward. My mothers and sisters, we make a strong dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the safe return of Zayd, who is somewhere in the eastern part of this particular country, and to grant the cooling of the hearts and the eyes of the family members and of all of us as well. Also the marhum, those who passed away from our community. Yesterday we lost one of the mothers of our society, and we ask Allah to grant her Jannah and to grant sabr to the family members and all the others who are going through any form of difficulty. May Allah create ease for you, and may He assist you and your children, your offspring. May He bless you with them, and may He grant goodness for them and your family members. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good return, inshallah, to the new school term. And at the same time, we hope to be very serious about these lessons for the next, inshallah, year as well. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us benefit. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.